created in us a spirit. We are a spirit. We are like unto you. We are built and created in your image. That is, we are a spirit. And Father, you speak to us. Deep calleth unto deep, spirit to spirit. And Father, we thank you that you are bringing to us the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven that was hidden from the foundation of the earth, from the day of sin, until this day, the day we celebrate the entrance of the Savior who bringeth light. So, Father, we give you great praise, great thanksgiving. And, Father, we ask you this morning to give us revelation so that we can walk in the truth, that we can walk daily in truth, that we can walk daily knowing that we are not of this world, but we are of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 8, or 7, sorry. Verse 14 is the distinct prophetic announcement . Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name God with us, and shall call his name Emmanuel. It's the name that was given for our fellowship together a number of years ago through one of our brothers, Guy Witherspoon, is that our name shall be called Our name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. You know, your name is God with us. Amen? Because you're in Christ and he is in you. See, these are the things we meditate on. We meditate upon these things day and night because this is who we are. And if then you go out into the world and you tend to forget these things. Amen? You tend to forget these things because you drive to a job, or you go to school, or you go to your studies, or whatever it is you may do. But our existence, number one, the breath. When God created Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life. The ruach, the breath. Same word for spirit in the Hebrew. The ruach. Or in the Greek is the pneuma. You know, pneuma with a P. Like pneumatic, like air, you know. Now, we don't talk about P pneumonia. No worry about that, but you need some air. But that power of God living on the inside of you, the breath of God, the reason you live, even on this earth, is because there's breath on the inside of you. Amen? And these are the things we remember. These are the things that we remember. If you don't remember these things, then you're just a piece of flesh. You're no different than anything else that just lives and dies on the earth. But God created you to fellowship with you and to know you. And his desire is so that you might be like him. His desire is so that you might be like him. No, not that so you might be a good person. He doesn't care anything about you being a good person. Amen. He cares about this. It's about you bringing everyone you know to the love of God. That's what his desire is. God's desire is not in creating nice, good, obedient little children. But God's desire in that obedience is to benefit from everything that he has provided. Benefit from everything that he has built into this world. The reason that he told them, don't eat of that tree, why would you tell your children, don't do that? Because that's dangerous. Don't put your hand on that stove. Don't do that. Amen? The reason you tell your children don't do that is not so they'll be obedient children. You keep them from harm. You want them to be obedient to keep them from harm. Amen? So that they learn obedience to the laws of nature. They'll learn obedience. Don't do that because that'll kill you. He said, don't eat of that tree. Why? Because I said so. Well, That's the first reason you don't do it. You don't ask a bunch of questions because all you're going to do is waste a bunch of time eating of that tree and then you'll die. Anybody ever had kids that just kind of stretched you? Amen. I mean, don't do that. Why? Don't do that. How come? As they're reaching out and grabbing it and sticking it in their mouth. Amen. He said, don't do that. Because the power of God. See, listen. The power of God is to dwell on the inside of you. That's what he wants. So he wants obedience in you so that you know what it is and how the power of God will work in and through you. But like you give your little kid a butane torch at 2, that's probably not a good idea. Likely burn the house down, but you give it to them when they're 20, or 19, And there might be some awesome power going on with that butane torch if it's used properly, if it's used wisely. You know exactly how to use the tools that God has given you to do. So he wants you to be totally obedient, but he wants you to be obedient with purpose. Amen? Obedience always has purpose, and it's to bless you. Amen? Obedience is not so, again, so that God will like you, and not so you will be good, and not so he can just be pleased with you. But it's so that the purposes of God can be manifest in the earth through you. Amen? So we come into the presence of the Lord looking, so Lord God, we can be obedient to you. So we can be obedient to your word. But it's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. It's not by your ability or strength. Remember how Peter was walking down there and the Jews were complaining about how the guy got healed at the gate. He said, why are you looking at us as if by some power or strength of our own that this man was made whole? It was by the Holy Ghost. It was by the power of the living God, the one you deny, that this man stands before you whole today. So back to the beginning is the God is bringing us from that world into this world. From the world of heaven, you've been born from above. Jesus was born of a virgin, into this world to take upon himself the sins of the world so that he might bring us into reconciliation with his Father, with your Father. The powerful thing about Matthew is that if you read Matthew, especially through the book of Sermon on the Mount, he continually is talking to the Jews about your Father, your Father, your Father. They didn't know God as your Father, but he kept telling them, your Father in heaven. We're here. When you pray in secret, your Father in heaven will reward you openly. They didn't know about God as their Father. They knew about God as their judge and as their, nanny. And, one's going to come after you. Listen, Jesus began to teach them about the Father. It's the Father himself who loves you. He said, Philip, it's the Father himself who loves you. I'm just a demonstration. I'm just a greeting card. Jesus is not your friend and the Father your enemy. Jesus is the greeting card from the Father. He's the one that said, hey, I love you. And the Father is letting you know today that he loves you. Amen? Okay. So, and of course, you remember back at the very beginning of the scripture, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it talks about specifically that the head of the serpent is going to be crushed by the seed of the woman. Which woman? This one right here. The woman who shouldn't even be having a baby. But because of the Spirit of God, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He came upon this Mary. She found favor in the sight of the Lord. Is it because she was good? Not by God's standard, no. Not by the standard of good. But she sought the Lord. She sought the Lord. Let's turn over to chapter 9, just a page over. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, if you read chapter 8 and chapter 9, you look at, when you find out, and I'll let you do that, if you will, I'll let you do that, reading chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Isaiah, and then you get into looking at chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people walked in darkness. The people walked in darkness. The people of that day walked in darkness. There's a darkness today. Amen. There's a darkness today. People depend upon the world. The people that walked in darkness, verse 2, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has light shined. So here they were, it's the prophetic word, is that they were in the darkness and the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before you according to the joy in the harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. It's not true joy. It's joy in the moment. Joy of, hey, well, that was good. Glad we got a little money off of that deal. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. That's a typical battle. That's a typical battle. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. It's the end judgment. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All these names. His name should be called Wonderful. Not Wonderful Counselor, just Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. This child is born. The Everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, of the increase of his government, and of the increase of peace. Man, peace could increase. There shall be no end of the increase of his government and the increase of peace. See, you want to slow down. I've always told you, slow down. I mean, you're so used to reading these scriptures on a plaque on the wall, you know. You ever do that? You know, you kind of read the first few verses and you know what it is. And she just, okay, I know that one. Slow down. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Can you imagine his government and peace always increasing? It's almost like government spending here. It's always increasing. Just wanted to give you something you would recognize. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it is lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down. But we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him, and join his enemies together. the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with the open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For all of these things, all the world as it is, his hand is still stretched out. I want you to look over to Luke chapter 2. Again, as we enter, and again, I know, you know, again, as we've said, you know, it's highly unlikely that Jesus was born on December the 25th. I don't mean to, you know, like, discourage anybody, you know. I mean, it's like, well, this is the best time we've got, you know. And that but the fact that he was probably born either in the spring or in the fall is in much debate throughout many parts of the body of Christ. Not as much the traditional, but more views across the kingdom. And so that's not what we're looking at, though. We're looking at the fact that Jesus was born. Amen? Hey, can you keep your finger right there and go to John 1? Wish he would stick to his notes. What notes? Look at John 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, the Word is the Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. You remember the darkness we read about? The people in darkness have seen a great light. So this is that light entering into this world. In Judges it says that men did what was right every man did what was right in his own eyes. But here comes the light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What is that? Then there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, the light, might believe. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. This is the light. This is the Word. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. This is very, very powerful. The world was made by him, and the world did not know him. So this whole world, this entire creation was made by him, and the world did not know him. They don't know him. Because every man does what's right in his own eyes. Every man just gets up in the morning, do what's right in his own eyes. Such were some of you, as the scripture says. Such were some of you. The apostle says in the epistles. Apostles and epistles. Such were some of you. He came to his own. Even to the people of God. The people of the kingdom of heaven. The word of God. He came to his own. And his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them who received him, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now John was 6 months older. What's he talking about? It's like when David said, the Lord said to my Lord, The father said to my Lord, sit until I make your enemies your footstool. Who is David's Lord? This word, the word made flesh. But yet he preceded David, yet he was born after David. Back over to Luke chapter 2. It's always good to rehearse the story. We did last week, of course, with the children. It's always good to rehearse the story. Here's the entrance of the Savior. I'm going to read. Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made first when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels did celebrate the birth of the Savior, did they not? And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is Old Testament. The Holy Ghost was upon him. So as a prophet, as one who is the Holy Spirit comes upon. And it was revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. Man, that's just powerful. That's three verses right there. The reference to the Holy Spirit moving Simeon. He'd been waiting for this day. And he came by the Spirit. into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. He knew this is the boy. This is the boy. Lord, let now your servant depart in peace. Okay, I'm ready to go. He'd been waiting his life to see this boy. He said, okay, I'm ready to go now. I saw the boy. Lord, let now your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Interesting. He's a light. This, because of the prophecy, because of the prophetic. This is not just the Savior of the Jews. This is the Savior of the world. He knew this from the Scripture. He knew this by the Holy Spirit, that this Savior was not just the Savior of the Jews. Hey, finally going to get us free. But he's the Savior of all men. And the glory of your people Israel. The vindication of your people Israel. This is why I created Israel. This is why I chose Israel. To bring forth this Savior who would bring forth salvation. My intent and my purpose for the world. So that no more would man do what was right in his own eyes, but would receive the blessing of the entire creation as I intended. Walking in obedience to the laws that I have set in place because I put my law into their hearts. A light to light the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Like, wow. Somebody else knows about this. God's been talking to people. Imagine God talking to people. Imagine God talking to people about you. Sending you into a place at the right time. Maybe that's why you're here. I think it is. Every one of you who names the name of Christ, the names the name of Jesus, is everyone is set forth to bring forth the truth. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your soul also. This is not going to be easy in the flesh. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna. Anna. Well, had Anna here this morning. Having a birthday on the day we celebrate the birth of the Lord. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years. A widow of 84 years. She is a widow counting 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Wow, what a woman. She didn't depart the temple. Somebody's going to say because she couldn't walk. No. She did not depart the temple, but served the Lord with fastings and prayers night and day. Don't hear much about Anna, do we? And she coming in that instant, Wow, just so happened. She coming in at the right moment. Gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own city, Nazareth. Okay, flip over to Matthew chapter 2. So after the events in the temple, they went back to Nazareth. Matthew chapter 2. That's just about, you know, 8 days, and then after the dedication of the child. Now we have, this is a little further down in the, I know we put them all together, but let's read this. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Oh, we're going to have a war? Is there another king coming? What's up? And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were coming to the house, indicates it must have been somewhat later than the manger. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be you there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child, his mother, by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken out of the Lord, or spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under. So he was looking at 2 years. He was assuming this could have been within the last 2 years. So again, these wise men and their venture seemed to be a little later than the manger. Lost my place. And I'm not ashamed. And he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, He was afraid to go there, and notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled by that which is spoken by the prophet. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, to complete our reading, let's go back over to Luke 2 and pick up at verse 40, where we left off. Having returned to the city of Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is Jesus' entrance into the world. This is Jesus' entrance into the world, Yeshua, the Savior. He came to join the world of heaven and to redeem us and to bring us back. You are created by God because He loves you. He created for His pleasure. You are created, and you are created a second time, born from above, so that you might be a witness of these things. Filled with His Spirit. Being filled with His Spirit, you have a knowledge of God. You know Him, and He knows you. Amen. You know Him, and He knows you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, of the saints of God, is that you are known of Him, and He knows you. He walks with you. You live with Him. You daily live with Him. Amen? Now again, I know. See, it's so easy, especially when you're young, to see the world as an exciting place, a place that is full of adventure and full of interesting things. But as you get older, you find out the world is also full of not great things, full of destruction, pain, hurt. And that's why God said, hear my voice. Walk in obedience to me. Don't eat that tree. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The day that you eat of it, in other words, in the day of disobedience to the Word of God, it brings death. And that's what God's trying to avoid. Amen? Your death. He wants to avoid your death, your pain, your destruction. Suffering in the flesh is only because we have already given the flesh way too much room. And so suffering is about pulling back what we've given away. We're used to it now. We're used to disobedience. We're used to fear. We're used to hurt and foolishness. So we're used to that. And so pulling back on it is hard. All the old people know what I'm talking about. If you've never paid a bill, you probably don't know what I'm talking about yet. If you've never had children, you probably, I don't know, well, you know, if you're older, you haven't had children, you still know what I'm talking about. But all the young people, listen to me now. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Get into His Word. Let His Word change you. Don't mix it. Don't mix it. See, Jesus came into the world to redeem the whole world, to buy you back so that you would have everything. He came to find you. He came to find you so that you would have everything that he bought for you. Everything that He had originally created for you. He came to bring you back to it. Amen? You remember the prodigal son? You know, after he got knocked on his noggin several times, ran out of everything that he had from birth. He went ahead and went out and just did his thing and lost every bit of it. And the Father reminded him. The Spirit reminded him. He came to himself. What does that mean? It means the word of the Lord that was already on the inside of him began to come back to him and say, hey, you know what? You know what I've got for you at home? Everything that I've purchased for you. Then he's going to go back and he's going to wallow and grovel, and his dad's going to run out and say, hey, put a finger ring on his finger. Put the robe on him. Put the shoes on his feet. My son has come home. Don't run away from home. And then you get the older son. Hey, I've always been here. And you never threw a party for me. God said, all I've had is yours. Everything I've got is yours. That guy was always busy just trying to please his father. He never realized that he was loved by his father. You're loved by your father. Amen? Amen. Woo! Jesus came to redeem this world. He came to bring us back. Amen? This was the entrance. I just read about the entrance. That's a neat, that's a powerful story. It's a powerful story of how God brought him into this world. One more remembrance is when he tells us to eat and drink of his body and his blood. As often as you do this, as often as you come together, really, as often as you're eating bread and wine, the common elements of your table. How many of you eat regularly? Most of you look like you eat regularly. As often as you eat regularly, bread and wine, common table elements, wasn't like as often as you eat turkey. Well, I guess that's just on Thanksgiving. No. Remember me. So this morning, let's remember the entrance of the Savior. Remember Simeon, who'd been waiting for years, and Anna, waiting for years for the consolation of Israel. He said, now, whoop, I can go home now. I've seen him. I know who this is, and I've seen him. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Now remember, live in the kingdom of heaven from now on. No more living in this world. You're done. We're done with this world. I mean, there's nothing in it. Amen? There's nothing here. There's nothing here. Father, we just worship you. We glorify you. We praise you. We magnify your name. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You've come to redeem us. Father, we thank you that you're reminding us of the entrance of the Savior. Thank God that the whole world has to stop and acknowledge Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for using us by your Spirit to show that demonstration, show that kingdom. To show that kingdom every day as we worship and praise you, and as the light that shined from Jesus shines from us. And we love you and give you praise for it. Amen.